Father, thank you for your mercies to us. Thank you for these songs that seem like over and over this evening we've sung about your incredible love for your people. Father, even the words of a blind woman who could say, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Father, we are blessed people. We are richly blessed from your hands to know you and to know your love, Father. It's not as if that we have riches that we don't know about, but rather you have revealed them unto us. And we are grateful to you, Father. We thank you for calling us from darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you for showing us the way, Lord, and for changing our hearts and our lives to cause us to love you. And Lord, we do desire food from your word tonight. We desire to worship you through hearing your word and lifting up your word. And Father, we don't know. I don't know what every person's need here is tonight. Probably don't even know my own needs perfectly enough. But you do, and you're a faithful, gracious shepherds. I pray that you might be merciful to us and bless us as we look into the scriptures, that there might be something for each of us there. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I'd like to turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, and I'll just start reading. We won't read the whole proverb, the whole chapter, but let's start reading in Proverbs chapter 8 in verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. We'll stop right there. Wisdom. Isn't it philosophers who for thousands of years have tried to find the meaning? What's the meaning of life? What is wisdom? What's the purpose of living? And all these philosophers have gone on and on and on, all the way back to the Greeks, Plato and Aristotle and Socrates and all these folks that have sought and given their very lives to see what is wisdom. What is wisdom? But the Word of God tells us, that their pursuit always, when it's confined to just their understanding and the works of men, it always leads to a dead end. It always leads to something incomplete. It always leads to a wisdom that ultimately disappoints, a wisdom that doesn't ultimately deliver. A wisdom that is faulty, a wisdom that has holes in it. But the scriptures tell us that wisdom, first and foremost, is found in a person. You know, that wisdom, first and foremost, starting it all, is found in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. In the book of Colossians chapter 2, Paul says, "For in him, that is in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Paul was writing there to Christians who were being invaded with the Gnostic heresy. The Gnostics said, "Listen, there's some good words of Jesus. He's good. But there's also this other secret, special knowledge that you can get in different ways that God sends down." And the Apostle Paul wrote firmly under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and says, "No, it is all found in the person of Jesus Christ. The fullness is in him." That's the same book where it says, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him." In him, that is in Jesus Christ, dwells all the treasures
that speak to the value of it. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so it is when God brings somebody to know the Lord Jesus Christ, it is as if God has given them a key to open up a room full of incredible treasure. So to be brought to know Jesus Christ, to be brought to trust in Him, is for God, as it were, to give you a key that opens up a room full of incredible treasure, full of riches, full of wisdom that won't lead you to a dead end, full of wisdom that doesn't have defects and will not disappoint, but full of wisdom that will deliver. If you don't tonight, if you know the Lord and you don't value that tonight, then you need to change. Because to know Him is to know wisdom. To know Him is to know wisdom. So wisdom is found in the person of Jesus Christ. I believe this Proverbs 8, a lot of it I think is talking about Christ. But also, obviously, you cannot separate the Word of God from God Himself because it's given by God. So I think this is somewhat of a dual application as we look at this proverb, when it's talking about wisdom crying out and the value of wisdom and wisdom loving us and honoring those who seek wisdom. It's speaking of Christ, who is wisdom personified, wisdom bodily, but it's also speaking, of course, of His wisdom given through His Word. So notice Proverbs chapter 8, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth on the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart." Wisdom is crying out. It's crying out all over the universe. You know that Psalm 19 says that. It's crying out all over the globe. All over the globe, wisdom is crying out. The being, the truth of a God, of a Creator God, Psalm 19 tells us, and Romans 1 tells us, another passage, is crying out. Psalm 19 says there's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. What do we mean by that? Is that people can see from creation, whether they're born of God's Spirit or still dead in sins, they can see from the created world that there is a God, that there is a designer. It is the same as somebody who would walk on a desert island that had no life, it seemed, and they found this wristwatch. And what would they have to determine? They said, a wristwatch maker has been here. Somebody with intelligence has been here to design this thing and to make this thing. I wonder if somebody's watching me. Are they hiding in the trees? Where are they? So wisdom is crying out all over the world that there is a God, and who has power and who has goodness. But in Acts 17, the Apostle Paul was preaching to some people who were not believers, who were not Christians. They were pagans. But he preached to them. He started with creation, and he ended with Jesus Christ. Imagine that. And he says in Acts 17 and verse 30, he says the last part of it, "But now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent," that is to turn from their wickedness and to turn to Him, "because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance," that means evidence, "unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead." And that He hath raised Him from the dead. So through the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has cried out, saying, "It is clear, there is evidence of not only a Creator, but of my Son, Jesus Christ." So wisdom is crying out. So that's outside the church walls, right? But what about for you and me? What about for you and me? Can't we say this even more? Even more? That wisdom is crying out to you. That wisdom is speaking loudly and clearly. Nobody here tonight, no one here tonight can say, "Lord, You just didn't give me access to Your Word. You just didn't give me the opportunity to learn about You. And had I known, if You had just given me the opportunity, I would have jumped on it and embraced it." But that's not the fact of the matter. Does anybody here have a shortage of Bibles in your home? Anybody, if you need one, we'll get you one. No lie, in all sincerity, we'll get you one. Does anybody here have a lack of opportunity to hear the Word of God regularly preached? If you do, we'll pray for you, and we'll invite you here and get you here, give you a ride, whatever it takes. We think about all that we have, all that we have access to. You can go on Sermon Audio, and Brother Reggie probably has 500 sermons downloaded. If you ever have a shortage of sermons of God's Word to hear, it is there. The point is, brothers and sisters, that wisdom is shouting out. It's shouting out. And it's valuable stuff. It's precious. It says she's crying at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Wisdom is crying out. It's crying out loudly. So none of us can say, I just don't have the opportunity. If wisdom had called out to me, if wisdom had called my name, I would have stopped and I would have listened and been the most diligent student. But that cannot be said of you and I. Wisdom has cried out to us. And the question is, am I listening? And am I heeding? Jesus Christ, if you read the Gospels, especially in the parables, there's a little phrase he said several times. It talks about, let him that heareth take heed how he hears. When he's talking to the churches in Revelation, he says, he that heareth, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Jesus in one place says, take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. So, am I coming to God's Word, ready to be taught, ready to listen, ready to be instructed, ready to be encouraged, ready to be strengthened? Am I coming only in body before God's Word, or am I coming with an ear and a heart really desiring to hear the Word of God? Now, it would be one thing if we lived in a world where the only thing crying out was wisdom. One of these days, we'll be in a world like that. Praise God. Nothing but wisdom will be put forth. But the reality is, of the world that we live in, is that wisdom is not the only voice that's crying out. In Proverbs chapter 7, which is right before Proverbs chapter 8, there's somebody else that calls out. It's the prostitute. And she's crying out. In Proverbs 9, the foolish woman is crying out. And I think that in Scripture is not only emblematic of those sins, but of sin in general as a whole. That the truth is crying out, and then the seduction of evil is crying out, and it's crying out quite loudly. And so you don't have to go very far, and evil, and sin, and foolishness, and ignorance, or false teaching, lies, contrary to God's Word, will cry out and seek to get your and my attention. Wisdom cries out, but foolishness and evil and wickedness cries out quite loudly. Quite loudly. And it doesn't say, hello, I am foolishness. I am evil. I am sin. Would you please listen to me? It doesn't work that way. Rather, it dresses it up. It dresses it up quite nicely, as Proverbs chapter 7 gives us the truth. It dresses it up quite nicely. Or it may not even totally reject God's Word, but it will seek to minimize God's Word. It will seek to minimize God's Word. It will seek to say, that's not really for you. That doesn't apply in your case. That's just somebody's opinion. It's good, not against God's Word, not against the Bible, but or you can do that later, or whatever the case may be. But foolishness seeks to package itself in a very attractive format. At the end of Proverbs 7, when the evil voice has just come out, notice the last result in verse 26 of Proverbs 7. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. The voice of wisdom leads to life. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life. They may have it more abundantly. But the voice of foolishness leads to death. It leads to death. Later in Proverbs 8 at the end, it says, all they that hate me love death. Isn't that amazing? All those who hate the Lord and hate His wisdom love death. We ought to see. Let us, brothers and sisters, pray for God to give us eyes to see sin for what it is, and to see foolishness and to see the lies of this world for what they are. I remember driving down an interstate one time, and it seemed like exit after exit after exit, I don't want to put this the right way, had advertisements for places where we should not go. That's all I'll say. And the advertisements had the place very attractive. Glitz and glamour. It didn't look like a bad thing. But you know what I thought? I said, what I should see in my eyes, what I should see on that sign is Gateway to Hell, exit 82. Chambers of Death, exit 133. You know, if that's how we need to look at sin. Pathway to Destruction, exit 44. Advertisement on my computer screen, Gateway to Hell, right there. Living a life, any kind of sin, of pursuing after covetousness or any other way, just rebellion against God's Word, not an alternative way to live, not just a different opinion, but Gateway to Hell. That's how I need and you need to look at that. Oh, that God would give us eyes to see things clearly as He would have us to see them. I love what Jesus says, and I want it to be true of me. In John chapter 10, the chapter of the Good Shepherd, my sheep hear my voice, and the stranger, they will not hear. Let me ask you, what are you listening to? What are you listening to? What voice has your attention? What voice has your ear? Because the shepherd's calling out, and there's the stranger. Wisdom is calling out, and then foolishness. In Scripture, true prophets call out, false prophets call out. It's all throughout the Bible. And so the question is who am I listening to? Who am I taking heed to? What is my heart? You know, the animal puts out his antenna. What am I ear putting out to hear and to receive and to obey? Because there are many voices calling out. So the question is, who am I listening to? Some would say, listen, just follow your heart. Follow your heart, man. Follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. Because the Bible says that the heart is deceitful. It tells lies. It is really good at telling lies. It'll tell you you're doing okay when you're really not. The heart will tell you that everything's okay when it's not. The heart will tell all kinds of lies and really can fool you really well. The heart is deceitful and it gets worse above all things. It's a really good liar. And it's desperately wicked. Not just a little bit sick, it is desperately wicked. Who can know it? To the point is we don't even know how wicked our hearts are. We don't even know what we are capable of. That's a sad reality. There's a lot of heinous sins in this world that I would like to think, oh, I would never do that, or I'm incapable of that. But the reality is, it doesn't mean we have to do it, but the reality is that every sin that's out there is in here, in my sinful nature. Every sin that's out there in practice is in here in principle. That's kind of scary. And so I have to recognize, whoa, don't listen to my heart, because my heart may lead me astray. What are you listening to? Listen, I talked to a young man at camp who I've talked to some before, put my arm around him. He said, how are you doing? Oh, I'm good, good. I said, no, I said, how are you really doing? He said, I'm not doing very good. Talking about with the Lord. I said, well, why? What's going on? What's the problem? What's the hindrance? He says, you know, he says, it's really the crowd that I go with. He's real honest. Really the crowd that I walk with. Wisdom. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, does that mean we all go to a monastery somewhere and so we can walk around wise men all day and be wise? No, Jesus says you're in the world as lights of the world, but don't be like the world. You're in the world, but don't think like the world. You're in the world, you're around people. That's unavoidable. But when it can be avoided, avoid it. He that walketh with wise men, in other words, he that's a companion of fools, he that goes along with fools, he that it locks arms with those who don't follow Christ, he that listens to those who don't follow Christ, he that starts to live like those who don't follow Christ, he that gets his approval, he that seeks approval from those who don't follow Christ, that hurts. He that seeks approval from those who don't follow Christ, that's where I'm getting off. He that walketh with wise men will say, well, who's that? I could point all over the room. I could point all over the room at wise men and wise women. For many of us, we could point at our parents. For many of us, we could point at our grandparents. But all throughout this room, there's wise people. Wise people say, well, I don't see a lot of PhDs, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about those who know, those who have the key, and who are in the room. They know Jesus Christ, and they've walked with Him, and they know His Word. They've lived it. They've lived it out. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs is pretty tough. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. So who are you listening to? May I pray, Lord, give me ears only for You. May my ears be deaf to foolishness. And may, when I hear foolishness, may I interpret it and look at it through the grid of wisdom, through the eyes of wisdom, because wisdom informs us. It informs us in the way that we're to go. But you know what? You're not going to be very wise, and I'm not going to be very wise. We're not going to be very wise unless we are diligent students of wisdom. Look at what he says, and it's really encouraging. Verse 17 of Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 17. You say, well, look, the preacher's convicted me. I'm not very wise. I ought to be very wise. So what do I do? Here's some encouragement. This is encouragement no matter where we are on the road of following the Lord. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early or diligently shall find me. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. If you diligently seek after the wisdom and the wise one Christ, if you seek after Christ and His wisdom diligently, you will not be disappointed. Isn't that a blessing? You will not be disappointed. Now, you may not know it all. You won't know it all. And you'll always be seeking for more. But He will not leave you high and dry if you truly seek after Him and His wisdom. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Aren't you glad for promises like that in God's Word? Because I tell you, the Christian life is hard. It is hard. Oh, but then we have these precious promises. These precious promises. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So the question is, are you seeking after wisdom? Are you diligently seeking after wisdom? Seeking to know the Lord and to know His Word and to apply it in your life. That's the question. You know, a lot of the Bible is, or some of the Bible is deep and hard to understand, and it takes years and years of study, sometimes before you even have a clue. But some things are really simple about the Christian life. Some things are really, really simple. And this is simple. Not easy. Takes discipline. Takes work. Takes effort. But those who seek after wisdom, they find it. God honors that. See, God honors those who honor Him. God honors those who seek after Him. God rewards those with Him own self. The reward is Himself. He rewards those that seek Him, and He honors that. So, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I am convinced, probably all of us here, maybe not everybody here, but I'll throw myself in there. Could use a little prod in our backside to be more diligent, to be more desirous to know the Word of God. The Waldenses were a people in our Baptist heritage back in the, what century? The 11th century, 12th century, the Waldenses. And I've read before about what they required of their preachers before they were ordained to the ministry. I wouldn't make it. I'd be 50 before I made it, or much more. Because they were serious. Now, they didn't have Facebook and TV and basketball and all these different things. But their life was probably a little simpler, maybe a little harder. Who knows? Probably a lot harder. But yet they really, really valued the Word of God and valued wisdom. The Lord, God is good. See, God is good. He's so faithful. He doesn't demand of us to be 12th graders when we're first born of His Spirit. There's a sweetness to being a newborn babe in Christ. There's a sweetness to like the blind man says, you know, I don't know a whole lot. All I know is I was blind and now I see. And that man named Jesus did before me. There's nothing more beautiful than that. That's precious. But if that's all I can say after 10 years of being in God's service, that's not okay. That's not very beautiful anymore. It's not encouraging when a 15-year-old only knows his ABCs. So Paul would tell the Corinthians that knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. So might say, well, I don't need knowledge because I don't want that to puff me up. Because there's the potential to puff me up. But later he would say to them, he would say, in malice be like children. That is, you have grudges, get over it just like kids do. He says, but in understanding, be men. Which means to be mature. In understanding, he says, grow up. Grow up. So there's a need for us all, no doubt, to grow up in our knowledge of the Word of God. He says in verse 32, he says, now therefore hearken unto me, O you children. So it's not enough just to know it, but now he says, hearken, listen. Now therefore hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. I love that image. The image is somebody at the gates of the city or the gates of wherever it may be. And here's this guy. And this thing called wisdom is about to pass through town. And he's just waiting at the gates. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I'm right here. I'm waiting for wisdom to come. May that be you and I. Lord, when I come to your word, this is a gold mine of wisdom. Don't let wisdom pass me by. Let me grow and understand. When the man gets up to preach the gospel, preach the word, Lord, I don't want wisdom to pass me by. I want to receive it. I want to get it. I want to meditate on it. I want to apply it to my life by your grace. But he says, blessed are they that keep my ways. And then back up earlier, some of the qualities of wisdom. In verse 6, he says, hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. God's wisdom will never lead you and I astray. God's wisdom will never tell us a lie. He'll never sell us something and not, you know, it's not like one of these false sales things, whatever you call them. It's not a sham. But God's wisdom always is right. And it applies to so many different areas of our life. It's the way of truth. It's the way of righteousness. It will never lead us astray. It will never do us harm. It will always lead us in the right way. And he says, blessed are they that keep my ways. So he says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's as if God has given you a key. A key to unimaginable treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So don't stay right there just at the doorway. Run into that room. Run into that gold mine with all that you have, with diligence, with effort, with desire. And hear only the voice of wisdom and not the other voices. And by God's grace to keep it and to obey it. And the way of the obedient, oh, what a blessed way. What a blessed way.